Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham Fleck and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg, and we have our regular panelists here tonight to talk about Tottenham Hotspur in a way that is probably a little more positive than we were all expecting when we got up this morning. I am joined by my sidekick, Ben Daniels, old man Brian Ashlock, and of course the anchor from the Moose Sissoko News Desk, Reno Wallabout. Let's start off with you, Brian. How are you feeling about Tottenham Hotspur after today's game? Because I think we were all hoping to come out of the international break feeling a little more fresh, a little more solid about Spurs. And I don't necessarily think it worked out that way.
No, it didn't. I don't know. After today's game, I don't think today's game really changed my overall feelings of doom and gloom about the season and the team. Like, it was nice, like, we performed well and we got the club's biggest European victory in our history, and, you know, whatever, that's fine. But I don't know, I still feel really really apprehensive about the rest of the Premier League season.
So today didn't do anything to assuage your fears either over the season or after what we saw at Watford?
No, because, I mean, we're still seeing, like, you know, mostly the same guys play. We're still, you know, and like, I just don't think that Red Star are kind of up to the standard that...
Of Watford?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of Watford or Brighton. I mean, I don't know. Marco Marin is their best player, I guess. I don't know. Like, I mean, that's a guy that flamed out at, you know, how many different... you know, top five league clubs. So
I guess I feel like I shouldn't. I certainly understand where you're coming from, Brian, and that's probably pretty close to where I am. But I guess with the way this season's gone, I'm not prepared to look any comfortable victory as a in the mouth, as it were, if we're calling it a gift horse.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, you know, remember how we felt after Crystal Palace, and then we were like, yeah, that's the one where we're getting it back on track, and we came out of the gate and we just, you know, pressed them and we rammed the ball down their throats and we scored a bunch of goals.
I don't know if we pressed them like we did today, if we're comparing apples to oranges. I certainly understand what you're saying, but I mean, Ben, do you think we looked any different? Do you think you could just write this off as it being Red Star? Because I think I certainly thought our pressing was there today in a way that it wasn't all season. And I don't know how much of it is they finally got a boot up their ass and how much of it's just Red Star.
I feel great after today, honestly.
Well, you're just clutching at straws, so.
Yeah, at stars. They're just clutching at red stars.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
okay, they suck, but like, how many times have we seen Spurs beat the shit out of a terrible team this season?
Once.
Not very many.
Once.
You know, Watford are the worst team in the league this season. They had previously scored one goal away from home all season and managed to replicate that feat against Spurs on Saturday in like the first 5 minutes of the game. And, you know, we looked pretty much like shit for most of that game. You know, there were a few positives. I thought Dele looked pretty good. Son gave us a little lift when he came on. But, like, mostly that was turgid and sad and embarrassing and just, like, you know, taking a point from Watford and trying to find, like, the positives. Like, you're in a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. And, you know, I think we all kind of already knew that, but... like Greg said, we were hoping for a little bit of a bounce after the international break.
We came out of the international break, and it was the exact same shit. They got punched in the mouth early. There was no response. I mean, we had that, like, 10 minutes of competent-looking soccer once we put Son on. But, like, even after that, I felt like we receded back to the mean. It was just... Jesus.
Yeah, it was miserable.
It was really bad. I was extremely mad at watching that game just because... I don't know. Like, they had a whole international break to think about what happened, and that's what we got.
And, you know, you say, like, we got punched in the mouth, and, like, we've gotten punched in the mouth a lot this season, and we haven't fought back from that. So, you know, the one sign of life and encouraging thing to take away from it was, well, at least we fought back for a draw, and maybe these players give a little bit more of a shit than it seemed like. And then, yeah, today we played Red Star Belgrade. They suck. Marco Marin's their best player. Their other recognizable player is a guy who was at Huddersfield the last two seasons. Like, you know, they're not a star-studded Champions League side. But, you know, we comfortably whipped the shit out of them, which is, again, not something we've seen us do.
With a press, I think that's important because it's not, you know, look at that Palace game. I think in retrospect you can say we were just hitting our shots and we honestly weren't, I don't want to say we weren't dominating them because we were, but this felt more comprehensive to me than that game.
Yeah, I mean, there were some other moments this season where we've had like a concerted team-oriented press, like the first half against Bayern. I thought, yeah, we know how that ended, but it was a well-organized pressing team, and then, you know, we got scored on and never recovered. And so, yeah, we didn't have the opportunity to fold like a deck of cards because Red Star was not good and didn't score against us. But, I mean, it's just seeing the team out there playing with a swagger and playing a high-intensity game, trying creative shit, you know, scoring lots of goals. And again, this is a game that, like, XG, I think, was like 4.2 for us. So, you know, it wasn't like we were just, like, had a hot finishing day and, you know, it was a bad performance. Like, we legitimately went out there and put together a 5-goal win. And pretty much everybody looked good doing it. Our attack looked good. Harry Kane took 6 shots, which is, you know, not the kind of performance we've seen from him very often this season.
Danny Ings-esque, you might say.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I know Kayleigh's eating a lot of shit for that on Twitter.
His point, I think, is valid. His comparisons are ill chosen, I would say.
Well, I mean, look, the reality is Danny Ings has scored, like, four goals in 4 straight games, and Harry Kane has barely put together 4 shots in the last few games. You know,
I mean, as someone who once compared Harry Kane to Stephen Fletcher, I understand how Kayleigh feels.
You know, the reality is like, Danny Ings is not capable of putting on a performance like Harry Kane did today. And if Harry Kane can put in performances like this more than, you know, once every 10 matches or whatever it's been this season, you know, then maybe we have our old Harry Kane back, or at least something resembling a very effective striker. And it doesn't matter if he's the best striker in the world anymore. But Son looked good, Dele looked good, and Ndombele looked good. Sissoko even looked useful. You know, like, the team just top to bottom performed. And that's huge. I mean, we just have not seen that all season. You know, Palace, we had a good first half. But the second half, we kind of, like, let off the gas and, you know, just saw out a victory. This, we looked like, you know, ruthless. Like, we were going to beat the shit out of this team and batter them into oblivion. And for a group of guys who, you know, everyone has said has quit on the manager and, you know, don't give a shit, like, this is the kind of performance that maybe tells me, you know, maybe these players are reachable. Maybe they can give a shit. Maybe we can get this, you know, back together.
I mean, I think it was telling after the game. I think there were a lot of very interesting quotes after this game. Lamella and Son being very out front and like, we need to fight, we need the fans to believe in us. And I, like, look, I don't want to read too much into that because it is what it is and we had a good day at the office. But I thought it was telling that there were some players out front, like, being very out front about this, even if it was maybe the two players that, like, maybe the only two players I wasn't ready to, like, fucking cut after Saturday's match. But also Pochettino talking about how he was talking about the press, talking about this is more what I want to see, and it's not quite where he wants it to be. I don't know. This was a very instructive game in a lot of ways, I thought.
Yeah, and I mean, and Son admitted, like, he knows that, like, they've let the fans down and that this is not what Spurs fans were expecting to see and what Spurs fans deserve to see. And, you know, just seeing the players take that on board a little bit. And yes, it is Son who is the kindest, most wonderful human being on the planet. So if anyone's going to say that and you're going to write it off as nonsense, it's probably him. But it was still nice to hear.
Same. Same with LaMelo, too.
Yeah, you know, LaMelo's a guy who always bleeds for the shirt and works his ass off no matter what. So it's another one who's like, well, you know, let me hear Christian Eriksen say it, and then I'll be happy. But
well, all right, let's not get fucking carried away here.
Speaking of Eriksen, another, I think, notable positive was that guys, you know, there's a lot of rumor about discontent in the dressing room. And, you know, some of the key figures that we all suspect to be behind that are Eriksen, Toby, and Danny Rose, all of whom did not play today. And, you know, I think Rose wasn't even in the squad, and Eriksen didn't see the pitch, you know. So if Pochettino is finally getting a little ruthless with this team and saying, I'm not going to play these guys who are being cancerous in the dressing room, and I'm going to play the guys who are out here wanting to work, that's another really positive sign. You know, whether that means these guys will get over themselves and, like, put their heads down and start working, or if we can find a way to just be good without guys who have been key players over the last several years. Either way, it's like hugely positive.
Rob, I can't believe I'm asking this. Do you have any faith after watching today's game? I mean, did you see enough different from what we saw in the weekend to sort of, do you have a positive outlook coming out of today, or do you think, okay, it's nice we didn't wet the bed for once, but like, let's see how this goes.
Hey, I'm totally with Ben on this. I'm very happy after today, and especially considering that, you know, we're going into another international break and there's no game this weekend. Like, it's all positive, right? I don't know when they're playing again or who they're playing, but you know, whenever that game happens, I'm sure everyone's going to be a little fresher and a little bit more fit and ready to go. And wait, there's a game this weekend, isn't there?
Yeah, we might play Liverpool.
Oh.
Well, I mean, might is really the operative word. Who knows if we'll play?
Do we have to?
I think the Tottenham players might not decide not to do that, so.
Okay, so we'll just rewind a little bit. There still were a lot of positives. And Ndombele looked great. And it was a little hard to tell what the difference was in the midfield, but I don't know what was missing. But for some reason, the passes seem to be going more forwards than perhaps they have recently. I don't know what may have led to that, but yeah,
I can't think of anyone's absence.
So let's put it this way: Ndombele, I think a good Ndombele is the only way this gets anything remotely solved in the short term, but clearly you're talking about having Dyer in there as opposed to Winks. I can't argue that it looked a lot better, and I think we've been encouraged by the little cameos we've gotten out of Dyer so far this year, but that guy can't stay fit. I don't think he's going to play against Liverpool, even though, like, I don't know, throwing in a defensive midfielder might not be the worst fucking idea in the world.
Well, I mean, in this one, Dyer didn't even come on until later in the game. And, you know, we looked fine with the Dembele Sissoko midfield and Ali dropping back in. Like, I thought that was fine.
Yeah, I think the key is never seeing Winks and Sissoko play together ever again. I think Ndombele and either of them, you can probably squeeze out a working midfield, but the two of them together is just a non-starter. And, like, if we've learned nothing else this season, I hope we all know that to be true. That they just do not do enough to actually be a midfield
in either direction.
Right,
Ben, are you ready to kickstart Spurs midfield by selling Harry Winks to Everton this summer?
Even Everton is not stupid enough to buy Harry Winks.
West Ham might want him though.
That's true. But the Winks Wilshire midfield is really what we've all been crying out for.
Oh God,
future of England. I think the one positive that you can take out of this is our next Champions League match will be on the road against Red Star, and a win there, and we're basically qualified for the next round. You know, so that is kind of, you know, this win does put us on track for qualification in terms of, you know, just needing to win the games that are in front of us. And, you know, we don't even need to beat Bayern Munich in Munich.
Hang on. That's not how that works, Brian.
Sure it is.
There are rules to these things.
No. I'm pretty confident that this is how it works.
It has to go to the final game.
Yeah, and we'll probably need a draw or something, or we'll need to like draw and then hope that somebody else doesn't win by two or more goals, and
we'll just need to hope that Red Star doesn't beat Bayern, and then somehow it'll be a close game late.
But I mean, Red Star in Belgrade is going to be a lot harder than this was.
Yeah, probably.
Our last Champions League match is at Munich, so it would be great if we needed to go there needing a result. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
That would be like going to Barcelona needing a result, right?
Yeah.
God, you guys are so miserable. How are you already fear-mongering like three games down the line?
Have you watched this club?
And then now I had to get on board, and it's his fault.
Look, if you guys are going to have me on this podcast, you know, you got to know what you're in for.
Yeah. Anyway, what I was saying was this win was good for our Champions League qualification hopes. And,
but yeah. Too bad about the heat death of the universe, though, right?
I mean, yeah, obviously.
Hey, it does look a lot better than it did after round two.
I mean, it can't look worse.
It could have.
Well, yeah.
Yes, I agree that winning a Champions League game is better than losing them.
Well, that's the thing about this. It's like it went as well as it could have gone.
Right? Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
No way to have done anything more with this.
Yeah. I mean, we could have won like 7-2.
We could have, but like we kicked the shit out of them. We got a clean sheet. You know, some players who have been really bad played and were fine, and some guys got some minutes. And again, there's no game this weekend, so there's nothing.
How do we feel about our chances of being good with Gazzaniga in goal? Because I don't think we've really talked about the Lloris injury.
I think it's going to be a drop off, but I think, you know, I think Gazzaniga's about, like, unless you're just in a club in a weird situation, he's about as good a backup as you could expect a team of Spurs level to have. I mean, you know, it's unless you just have some insane guy coming out of your academy and a pretty good starting keeper. I don't know if there's many player teams with significantly better backups than him.
I mean, United have Sergio Romero.
Liverpool rattled off 7 straight wins with a guy West Ham cut this year. Like, I mean, Gazzaniga's pretty good, and as long as our team isn't a total disaster in front of him.
I mean, I'm sure Gazzaniga is going to ship.
More a problem than Gazzaniga.
He's going to ship like a couple.
He might, yeah, exactly. He might ship some goals that Hugo wouldn't have. He might cost us a point here or there, but like by and large, you know, he'll be fine. He's not going to be the game winner that Hugo is sometimes, but again, it's our backup goalkeeper. What do you want?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, and when we consider this, like, it's worth remembering that. You know, like, and right before he broke his arm, like, Lloris shipped a goal in a very, very stupid way. So it's not like Lloris was immune from doing dumb shit, even though I think he's had a better sort of year or two than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I mean, if we remember, like, 8 months ago, people were calling for Hugo to be dropped and Gazzaniga be handed the starting job.
We should be clear, was dumb. Gazzaniga was never that good.
But you know, I don't think we're in totally unsafe hands here. Knock on all the wood.
I really am frustrated because I think today was actually a very good performance, and it's frustrating. It's always going to be frustrating that we have to play Liverpool, but I would just, you know, you look at a performance like that and you can't help but think, because it wasn't like we, like you said, Ben, it's not like the Palace game where we were just hitting our shots. Like, you really saw one of the more coherent, probably the most coherent version of what you would like the Spurs team to look like. against Red Star, and obviously it's Red Star, so it makes it kind of hard to evaluate. But, you know, if you woke up from a coma and just watched that game and hadn't done any reading about where we were in the table or how the season's gone, you'd feel pretty good about Spurs right now. What sucks about playing Liverpool is I feel like this game is going to be such a weird anomaly, and we could, in theory, get our asses kicked, and it might not tell us much about, are Spurs playing better? Have they figured it out? I mean, you know, the funniest world would be we find a way to beat Liverpool this weekend by hook or by crook, and wouldn't that be hilarious? But, you know, probably even a better Spurs team could get its ass whipped by this Liverpool team. So it's just, I don't know, I find it very frustrating. It would be nice to... We probably lose to a team like Watford the way we're playing this year, but it would be nice to play a team like that just to get a better feel for, okay, are Spurs figuring things out? Is Pochettino doing something different with a lineup that's working? Is he, you know, really changing some of the players that he's putting in? I just don't think we're going to get a good sense of that for at least another week because I think Liverpool is just going to be such a toss-up in terms of tactics and personnel.
Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
It was me, but you can go ahead, Rob.
Brian, you sure you don't want to go? Okay.
I mean, I can talk if you want.
No, it's all right. You people all sound the same to me. If you look at it another way, it's sort of a house money game because everyone expects Tottenham to lose. Most people expect Tottenham to get the shit kicked out of them. So if they don't get the shit kicked out of them, or if miraculously they actually get a good result, there's a whole lot that you can take from it and think about it positively. And if something insane happens and they get a result, that's now surviving three of their toughest fixtures already. And maybe the beginning of the season is really not all that awful. Squeezing really hard.
No, I don't know. I disagree. I think if you get a result, for example, United getting their draw against Liverpool this weekend, like that game doesn't tell me anything more about where Manchester United are as a club and a team in their current management situation with their current set of players any more than what their, you know, their next few results are going to tell us where they play like mediocre clubs that they should beat. I mean, you know, like you said, it is a free hit. Like we, you know, whatever, if something good happens, that's great. If we get blown out of the water, that's what everybody expected. So I don't think this is going to be instructive to us in terms of where we're at.
That's insane. Whatever you're saying is insane. I mean, what games count? If we beat the games teams we're supposed to beat, that doesn't count because we're supposed to beat them. If we steal points against a team we're not supposed to beat, that doesn't count because it was just one game. Like, you know,
Yeah, nothing matters.
Obviously, each individual game is not, like, super instructive. It's a very small sample size to draw conclusions from, but, like, you add enough of those small results together and you start building a pattern and you can draw conclusions.
So, I think this game is very...
Coming off the back of a 5-0 stomping, were we to win against Liverpool, you know, whether it's a deserved win or a lucky win, you know, that adds to the bits of information we have and we can start to say maybe things are turning around and that's not insane. Like, it does mean something for Man U to have taken a draw off of Liverpool. Like,
I think it means something. I think what Brian's saying is not necessarily like, okay, let's say that after Watford we're instituting a new way to play or we have figured out something about how to run our press. I think what he's saying is that we're probably going to play a little differently against Liverpool and it might not be instructive for us trying to figure out where this team is going. Now, Ben, I think you make a valid point. If we could find a way to finagle points out of this game, I think that might be very important for this team moving forward. That said, I don't know. Stealing some shit off a City didn't help us either. So,
right. I don't know. I feel like we're gonna come if we come out of this game and we get, you know, beaten 3-1 or, you know, 3-0 or whatever, we'll be like, well, whatever. It's Liverpool, and then we'll come into these upcoming Premier League matches where it's Everton, Sheffield United, West Ham, and those are the ones that we should be looking at and saying like, all right, well, you know, based on where we are this season, like if we're not getting results here, then we're really in trouble. Then we have some real issues that we need to solve. Like, you know, I don't think whatever happens in a Liverpool match is going to tell us anything about the relative position of Spurs in the Premier League this year.
I mean, if we whip the hell out of Liverpool, like, don't tell me you're not going to read into that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, obviously, yeah. No. If we beat the shit out of Liverpool, if it's like 5-1
I mean, yes, if we have a 2-2 draw like we did against Man City where we take two shots and they take 47 shots, you know, I'm not going to be like, Spurs are back, baby. But, you know, at the same time,
you'll still feel good about it.
But, yeah, I think Liverpool, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but, like, Liverpool, despite starting the season with, like, 8 straight wins or whatever they did, you know, they have been shaky. Salah has not been very good. They blew it against Man United, which is really good for us because had they beaten Man United, then beating Spurs this weekend would have given them the record for most consecutive wins in the Premier League, and we really didn't need that on our shoulders because that's a game we definitely lose. But now that that pressure's off, like, it's fine. But yeah, Trent Alexander-Arnold just got hurt, and he's a huge part of their attack and defense. I mean, they just rely on their fullbacks to do so much, and he's so key to that. With Salah not really performing at his best, you know.
Well, Salah's coming off an injury. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's ready to rock and roll, but...
You know, they showed their vulnerability this weekend. Like, it is possible that a slightly rejuvenated Spurs team that isn't miserable and hating life could go out there and do something. It's not crazy. But yeah, I mean, I guess the thing I would want to see more than any result is just that the team goes out there fighting, and when Liverpool inevitably scores a goal against us, it does not mean we collapse in on ourselves and surrender. You know, I just want to see us go out there and fight for 90 minutes, whatever's happening in either goal now.
I mean, and that's like, I feel like if there's like one thing that's really discouraging about Spurs this year, it's that. It's the, you know, we've given up. I mean, God, giving up dumb goals is in our DNA, but we just fall apart. I mean, with the exception of maybe the Villa game, I mean, we just fall apart when we give up goals this year. We have no ideas. We can't figure out how to break teams down. I mean, I understand that's easier said than done, but it's just, you know, there's no excuse. I mean, there's no excuse for losing to these teams or at least dropping points to some of these teams like we have this year. And one thing that's just incredibly frustrating is, like, we would be actually, in terms of making top four, we'd be in a pretty decent situation if we just won one of the games that we sort of dropped that we shouldn't have this year. I mean, I think we're like 5 points off top four right now. It's, if we just win one of those games, we're in a, like, a decent situation. Now, a lot of that has to do with the sort of incompetence of the other teams we're playing. But, oh, it's just so aggravating.
Yeah, I mean, had we beaten Newcastle and Watford, we would be level on points with Chelsea and Leicester. You know, just, we haven't, you know. But, I mean, like you said, the big part is we've just surrendered in every one of those games that things have gone slightly against us. The team's just shuts down. It's like, well, this is over. There's no hope. We suck. I don't like playing in a diamond midfield. Pochettino makes me train too hard. You know, we've seen all of that all season long. So I just want to see this team coming together and playing like a team and playing for each other, for the coach, for the fans, and just giving a 90-minute effort.
Yeah, like trying to press, like actually working at it. It's just, that was, I don't know about you guys, but that's what was so frustrating to me about the Watford game. It wasn't just that we got punched in the face, although that was probably the most frustrating thing, but there wasn't the effort, there wasn't the energy. And you'd think coming off an international break, you'd think stewing for 2 weeks over that Brighton and Bayern game, they would come out just pissed off and ready to take it out on somebody. And they didn't. And I don't know, that's really concerning to me. It's still concerning if I think about it, honestly.
It took it out on us, the fans.
Ugh.
I mean, there's something to be said for the fact that, like, maybe they were all ready to do that, and then within the first 5 minutes, your goalie throws the ball into his own net and blows out his elbow. And suddenly it's like, oh, it's another one of those games.
Well, that was against Brighton, though.
Yeah, and I mean, after that, it's just like, I think the carryover from that is every game is, as soon as something bad happens, it's, oh, again, now what's going to go wrong? So you get to Watford and it's like, okay, get through the first 10 minutes, and then Danny Rose completely blows a ball over his head and you give up a goal and suddenly here you are again.
Well, that gets us into another conversation, actually. Like, we all love Danny Rose on this podcast, but I think Joel mentioned it to us when we were talking about the game in our writer's room today, which was, you know, you could see just, like, Davies just looked more in sync with what the team was trying to do. He was reacting to the Red Star players in a way where Danny just hasn't this year. Like, he just seemed more in sync with what the team was trying to accomplish. I don't know, maybe that's just because it's Red Star. But it looked like more than that to me when I was sort of going through the highlights again. I mean...
Yeah, I'd be happy not to see Danny Rose again, honestly. I love the guy. He's been great. I love how outspoken he is. I love everything about the guy, but he's just not doing it.
And it's more than
there's
just
no room for sentimentality at this point.
And, well, yeah, and it looks like it's not just effort. I mean, it just doesn't seem like he's on the same page as everybody else, and it's really annoying. And I don't know. He was kind of mediocre in the. It's easy to forget it. He was kind of mediocre at the beginning of last year, but this is worse than that. And I think we were all hoping early in the season he'd sort of play his way into better form because we've seen him do that before, but he's just not. And maybe he's a malcontent, and maybe he's not, but he's not good enough anymore, it seems.
Yeah, he might just be washed. And, like, that Watford goal, if you look at the defensive line and then you look at where he is, he has no idea what's going on. And it's like, you can't run that out every week. And Danny Rose is never not trying. Like, that's his calling card, is going into every challenge at 100 miles an hour and giving his all, but he has been really bad for a while.
Yeah, that's honestly, I think, the worst part. It's like, you watch that Watford game, and he looks like he's making an effort. He doesn't look like he's one of the guys who's, you know, totally quit out there. He's running constantly. It's just running without any purpose or ability or sense of what the hell's going on around him, and it's sad to see.
Do you think you're seeing that with anyone else this year, Ben?
Guys, I mean, you know, it's hard to tell who's not trying and who just sucks. You know, I've seen Kane be bad in a lot of games, and is that he's not running, he's not trying, or, you know, his mobility is limited because of injury. I don't know. Today he looked like he was both trying and good and talented, so, you know, what else can I say about Harry Kane then is, if he does have games like this still left in his locker, then in the games where he looks like shit, are those games where Harry Kane just doesn't give a fuck?
Is it because the team around him is broken? I mean, that didn't seem to matter a few years ago when we were running out Nabil Bentaleb and Ryan Mason.
Exactly. Like, he was still getting shots, he was still putting himself about, he was still making plays. And, you know, lately he's just looked very listless. And, you know, you can say, like, well, you know, he's had a bad injury. It's limited him. But you see a game like today and you're like, well, he didn't look limited at all. He looked just like Harry Kane. So what the fuck's going on, Harry? I have to assume that it's a lack of effort or a lack of motivation or frustration or something. But,
I mean,
it doesn't look like he's doing the work out there.
Vertonghen seems washed. I mean, Toby seems more checked out than washed. It's just...
Yeah, I mean, Vertonghen was good today again. He was running. He was doing the things you'd expect from him, but didn't see that at Watford. I have no idea, honestly, you know... I think if we had to make a list of who the malcontents are, I think we'd all probably say Eriksen, Toby, Vertonghen, Danny Rose, Serge Aurier. That's probably, like, the main core of it, and then maybe some guys around it. But, you know, Aurier and Vertonghen played today, and they both looked like their old selves. Like, they looked good. Aurier attacked well. He had an assist. Like, I don't know who's reachable. I don't know who's quit entirely. You know, I can just sort of trust Pochettino at this point to figure it out. But it's frustrating because it is so hard to see when you're watching the game because everything is just such a mess.
It seems like the club's betting on Pochettino. I was very worried about this, how this Liverpool game would affect the team. Because frankly, I expected us to lay an egg today after the Watford match. I was not hopeful about today, and I know I am very negative when it comes to Spurs sometimes, but just watching the way we went out there and dropped just a big old turd this weekend, I was not expecting a lot. And, you know, I think this relieves some pressure, but oof. I mean, they got to get it together quick. I mean, they need to get it together real quick. And we're lucky Arsenal, like, threw some points away. But, you know, if we lose to Liverpool, we're going to be right back in that hole. Oh, man, it's just, we need to start winning some fucking games. It'd be great to start this weekend.
I think this game does save Pochettino from this being, like, the AVB Liverpool game. Like, if they lose to Liverpool, I don't think he's getting fired after it.
Yeah, I think this, even a bad game against Liverpool is not going to feel as just god-awful as it might if, you know.
But if this game had been a loss after Watford and then Liverpool was a loss, then, I mean, maybe we'd feel differently about it.
Right. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier. This gives me hope and belief that things can change. And I think it gave everybody a little breathing room, gave everybody the opportunity to feel good about playing for Spurs again and, like, just excited to rattle off a comfortable win. Like,
a definitive win. It wasn't even, like, comfortable. Like, we whipped the shit out of someone today. That felt really good.
Right, and that's got to feel good for the players, too. And, you know, you got to think they're going to go back into training this week and be a little more hyped than they were, you know, after Brighton and after Watford. It would be nice to have an easier game to build on, but I think they can surprise us this week.
I hope so. I mean, part of it, too, is I think what I found encouraging today, if I'm looking for signs to be encouraged about, it would be that we tried a new look today. We mixed up our midfield. We weren't, you know, running that same Wingsoko midfield out there that's, you know, just sucked so bad this year. And, you know, if that lineup had just demolished a bad team, I'd feel probably a little bit more negative about this. But we're trying something new. And now that, like, Lo Celso's coming back into the team, that, like, maybe we'll get some different looks in here. Maybe we exile the malcontents and, you know, come up with a formation that makes a lot more sense. You know, you can, today's a game that you can, is as much as Red Star kind of just aren't on our level, you can at least talk yourself into how this could be a step forward for the team.
You know, another thing I think is big is that it's not that we tried something new as much as this, we tried something old.
Or something else. How about that?
And going back to that 4-2-3-1, because there's been a lot of ITK rumors that the players hate the diamond midfield. They don't seem to understand their roles. It's too tactics-y. And they're unhappy with it. You know, the rumors have been that, like, Pochettino has gotten too tactics tinkery with the team and not just going back to the basics that, like, worked all these years. And I get why Pochettino did that, because we haven't had a midfield capable of playing that 4-2-3-1 that worked when he first came in. But Ndombele really gives us the ability to try that again, and we did today. And, you know, I think that goes a long way towards making those players feel more comfortable in a setup that they understand how to press, what their roles are, you know, where they're supposed to be on the pitch, how they're supposed to link up with each other. And I think Pochettino being willing to abandon this kind of tactic that he's forced down their throats that they haven't been happy playing, and just saying, okay, let's go back to what we know is good, and it working, I think that, you know, that's the kind of thing that is very encouraging for Pochettino to give him a little bit of ground in his efforts to make peace with the team and get everybody on side and playing together again. I think that's really encouraging.
And honestly, even if we get our sort of ass whipped by Liverpool, I think I'll feel a little bit better if we play this system and try to make it work, as opposed to, you know, just throwing shit up against the wall and seeing what sticks. I know that's a simplification, but... And who knows if we can? Like, I'm going to guess these players after the international break have another game in them, but who knows?
I mean, Dele didn't go to England. He's barely played this season, so you know he's fresh. Ben Davis has barely played, so he's fresh. You know, Sonny didn't start against Watford, so he should be able to go. You know, I think a lot of these guys, and Abelia has obviously just come back from injury, so he should be ready to go. Sissoko's never tired, so that's fine. You know, yeah, I think there's a lot of reason to expect we'll see a very similar lineup and try to play a hard game and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. And Ndombele worries me. This was maybe his most complete 90 minutes of the season, I thought. I thought he was really good today, but that guy just hasn't looked fit all season. Maybe he just got, maybe he's still recovering from his injury. Maybe he turned a corner. I hope that's what it is. I just hope that guy's ready to take on Liverpool.
It's going to be really, really bad if he rotates back and it's back to that same lineup that makes everybody so upset. Like, hopefully, I mean, some of these guys get to play again after today, and it's not back to Rose and Toby and Winks and, yeah, hopefully not.
I don't know, that's a Winks in midfield combination is not worse than the McTominay Fred Pereira midfield that Manchester United played. So
Fred, you know, I keep forgetting Fred is on United.
I mean, if it's the midfield that couldn't beat Watford or Brighton, then we're in trouble. Like, maybe Ndombele and Dyer start. Who knows? Like, that's the thing. It's today's rotation was good. You almost wish they'd saved today's rotation for Liverpool, but
I think they needed to stop the bleeding as much as right. I want to beat Liverpool.
Well, no, this was a really good lineup against a really bad team. This was not Arsenal's lineup against Sheffield United.
It really is stunning. I think Spurs have made everyone kind of forget how just mediocre and awful a lot of the other teams in England have been this year.
It really is like the US and the UK, like, trading bad politics back and forth. Just hold my beer, just back and forth. Which team can embarrass themselves more?
I mean, somehow we're still miraculously like 7th, behind Crystal Palace and Arsenal and Chelsea and Leicester.
I mean, I feel like the top 4 race is really going to come down to who can go on a run first.
Yeah, and we are getting to that time of the season where Spurs typically go on a
in
run.
In November?
Yeah. You know, by the end of November through December into January, that's usually when Spurs press kicks into high gear and we look relentless.
And usually it comes following a Pochettino tactical tweak. So, you know, what was it, 2 years ago it was going to the three at the back, and then last year it was the air raid, and so this year maybe it's switching back to 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, you heard it here first. We're about to rattle off 12 straight wins.
It's going to be a little annoying if the solution turns out to be, why don't we just do that thing we used to do? I mean, I'll take what I can get at this point, but...
Yeah, I mean, again, remember, like, we've been playing a Harry Winks, Musa Sissoko midfield. We literally couldn't do that thing we used to do because we didn't sign anybody last year. And so that, once again, remains the most annoying part of all of this. But...
What's annoying is these are two players I don't see Pochettino exiling. But like you said, maybe it's as simple as just don't fucking play those guys at the same time and, you know, make sure Ndombele is playing next to one of them. It's just, oh, God. Man, I really want to... Today was really nice in it. Like, I haven't dreaded Spurs games in the way I have been in such a long time. I forgot what it was like, which I know sounds weird considering some of our history, but, like, I mean, when's the last time you just looked at a weekend, and not just against, like, oh, we have a big game this weekend against Liverpool or whatever, but you just, you know, just, God, we're playing fucking Watford and I didn't feel good about it. Like, it's just, it's so demoralizing.
I mean, it's been tough to be excited about anything this season.
Really, since, I don't know, when. Like,
not this season.
Yeah, well, we were all, like, making excuses or telling ourselves that it was a passing fad, and it just became more clear that it was not, in fact, a passing fad.
Yeah, and well, I mean, you know, again, hindsight, but, like, we signed Ndombele and Lo Celso, two of the best young midfielders in Europe, and we've barely gotten to see any of them. And, you know, we knew going into the season we didn't have a midfield, and it was a huge point of vulnerability for us. And, you know, we did address it in the transfer window, and we just haven't gotten to do anything about it. So hopefully now that we're getting these guys back into the team, you know, we can be excited again, or at least not fucking hate every Friday knowing what Saturday is going to bring.
Or Sunday in this case. Ugh.
Well, I start getting angry on Friday.
Well, you're like the Hulk, Ben. You're always angry. Does anyone have any final thoughts going into Liverpool?
I think we're going to win.
I think we will very definitely not win.
I feel pretty good about this.
I think we will not lose that badly.
I think we've turned a corner. Harry Kane's amazing again. And, hey, we're going to blow him up.
Here's hoping. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can also find me on Twitter, weirdly enough. It's at Brian_Ashlock. That's Brian with a Y.
Reno, Rob, where can people find you on the tubes?
You can find me tweeting about the Mets managerial search at Reno Wallabout.
And you can find me on Twitter.com at Skipjack0079 talking about professional wrestling and the existential crisis that is Tottenham Hotspur. For Ben, for Brian, for Rob, and of course for Brett Rainbow, I am your host, Greg. Thank you all very much, and come on, you Spurs. No, seriously, please, come on, you Spurs. I'm tired of this shit. All right, catch you guys next week.